Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
On Mondays about this time, I pull out my old big green egg. I pat out some burgers like I used to do back at the Memphis Country Club, but I cook these a little differently. I grill these a little differently. I season them with respect in a world full of disrespect. Let's do respect burgers.
Now, it's time for the Jason and John Show, Respect Burgers.
R-E-S-E-C-T, find out what it means to me.
Sizzling Respect Burgers, served hot and fresh from Jason and John.
First Respect Burger. Now, while it's not over, it certainly looks like Boston's in total control at this point. I guess, listen, they've only, if I'm making the case for Dallas here, Boston's only done what they're supposed to do. They've won the two at home, and they have maintained home court advantage. We'll see what happens when this series resumes on Wednesday in terms of whether or not Dallas can take care of business on their home floor the same way. But I think you'd be remiss if you didn't look at what Drew Holiday right now is doing for the Boston Celtics and didn't come away very impressed. Last night is 26 points, 11 rebounds in that 105-98 game two win. But it's not just the offensive production like we've talked about. It's what he's doing defensively, particularly against Kyrie Irving, who has not hit a three so far in this series. Now, Drew ain't the only one that's been on Kyrie, but he spent a great deal of time with him. And frankly, just about anybody that Drew's been on, he's been effective against. You are getting, through two games, 19 points per game and 9.5 rebounds per game from Drew Holiday. Didn't we say that coming into the series, that Drew Holiday would be a guy for you to look up, and he's got 20-something and 8-9 rebounds? You're getting even better from him in terms of that game two performance last night with 26 and 11. Oh, by the way, in terms of the main guys for the Celtics, he's shooting it like a big 65.2% from the field in terms of his efficiency. He's 15 of 23. And oh, that has extended out to the perimeter where he's 4 of 9 in the first two games, shooting 44, basically 45% from three. So he has been nothing short of tremendous for Boston. You could make a case that he is their MVP, at least through the first two games, particularly when you're talking about what he's doing on both ends of the floor and the way that he has so far helped take Kyrie Irving out of this series. Now, again, you could go down the list. I think Jaylen Brown certainly been respectable in terms of the way he played. Derek White, Porzingis, particularly in that first game. I mean, there's a lot of Celtics that deserve respect burgers at this point, albeit not done yet. But I would say Drew Holiday. I mean, Jaylen Brown, I will go back to this. He has been the unequivocal leader of this team in terms of stepping up from a vocal standpoint. He's doing more of that than he's done previous seasons. Drew Holiday is allowing him to do it, but in his play, too, is showing you, man, I'm not going to wait on anybody. I will make championship plays in my attempts to bring Boston a title and to you know, what would it be, an 18th for Boston? You know, breaking the 17-17 tie between them and the Lakers. And so, Jrue Holiday, respect burger so far, two games in. And here's another one for the other side. And it's for his approach. John and I discussed this last first hour. We think Kyrie Irving and Jason Kidd, to this point, have sort of blown it with their approach. And frankly, it's really Kyrie that I'm surprised by the most in terms of, you know, you pointed out that you thought it would be a little bit louder in Boston for that first game. They come back, use that against you in the second game. In terms of the way you've shot the ball, it looks like it's affecting you. Like, they're in your head more than you're in theirs is what it seems. And that, for a guy who has seemed to have turned a page, seemed to be intent. Remember last series when Charles Barkley asked about Anthony Edwards calling him out after the Denver series? Kyrie didn't really take the bait. Oh, yeah, we were watching that with dinner. He didn't really get caught up in it. It feels like he has here, in this case, the Boston crowd's got. But again, a little bit more of a surprise that he's doing it because he's won a championship, and it felt like he was turning over a new leaf. Whereas with Jason Kidd, this whole mind game things, doubling down between one and two, that Jaylen Brown is the best player on the Celtics, trying to throw either him or Jason Tatum off. You know, that one, Jason Kidd, first finals as a coach, you can kind of see it, kind of fell short. But with Luka, is not participating in this. And the guy who hasn't been here in terms of as a player, I got a great deal of respect for him because after last night's game where he goes 32-11-11, and remember that's coming off of a one assist game in game one, he upped that to 11 assists in game two. He took the blame.
Yeah.
He's taking the blame for the loss in an attempt to get the heat off of Kyrie and attempt to get the heat off of his teammates. And, dude, that is as veteran as it gets in terms of the NBA, in terms of that approach. And a lot of times you're just not going to see it from a guy as young as Luka. So I got nothing but respect for the way he's approaching them being down now 0-2 as opposed to the way Kyrie and Jason Kidd have handled it. He's handled this thing sort of like as the veteran here. And for all those reasons, too, and it's a subject we've talked a great deal about here as we've moved on. I want to give a respect burger to Caitlin Clark. John touched on it. The way she's handled all of this. She said all of the right things. And this quote that's out about her, you know, being coach, they woke a monster. That, you know, in terms of her snub for the Olympic team. Well, that's a quote that came from her coach. That wasn't Caitlin Clark telling the world, I'm about to be a monster because you snubbed me. She has said all the right things. I'm excited for the girls that are on the team. I know it's the most competitive team in the world, and I know it could have gone either way, me being on the team or not being on the team. I'm going to be rooting for them to win gold. I was a kid that grew up watching them, so it'll be fun watching them, basically saying I'm willing to wait my turn. Here again is Caitlin Clark getting it. And she's gotten it every time she's been asked about, you know, whether these cheap shots on her or whatever else. She understands it. She gets it. She's not pointing the finger at these veterans in the WNBA and saying, I'm being mistreated. She's been saying all the way down that this is part of it. I get it. This has been going on for years. And if we were just listening to Caitlin, I think there'd be a lot less yelling and screaming about the subject of Caitlin Clark in the WNBA this year, receiving these shots, Caitlin Clark getting snubbed. If we just listen to her and follow her lead, she's with it all. Like, you know what I'm saying? She's been downplaying sort of this, and I just think you got to give her respect for the way that she's handled it. Looked like she's getting a little bit more settled in terms of her on-the-court performances right now, but from the get-go, she has handled, you know, her entrance into this league, the fact that she's been crowned in terms of attention and by the media, she's handled like a player that's gone in just to grind, a player who's not at that level, and I think done a very good job in doing it as well. And so Caitlin Clark, much like for Luka Doncic, I think in these situations, both deserve respect burgers to go along with Jrue Holiday. That's it. I mean, I could go Memphis football recruiting, but let's wait. Let's wait. I like that you're involved with Antoine Hill, but I think that you're about to take it to another level and landing him. So we'll stop short. It could be a midweek respect burger on Antoine Hill. That's not to take anything away from the job they're doing. We're just going to see it to completion in terms of a – because I will say, I mean, whether it's – you could give it to him now based on the work that Ryan Silverfield has done, the transfer portal. You go get Tennessee's leading tackler, Mario Anderson, the running back out of South Carolina. Like, as a whole, what they have done in terms of recruiting, particularly in the transfer portal, has been worthy and certainly warranted. warranted respect burger. But we've given them that.
Yeah.
Let's see if they can take it to a new level in terms of their high school recruiting. And landing in Antoine Hill would certainly be that.
Yeah, look, I have to give a disrespect dog to the Los Angeles Lakers today. I do.
Really?
I do. They've been for at least the day.
Because, you're probably right.
You know, I mean, just the way this has all been handled from the outset. Either you bungled the J.J. Redick thing, getting out there and leaked and all that, and you had to coordinate this, and you had to sort of set up all of this.
Right, either or.
Or you missed out on Dan Hurley with an offer of, you know, $70 million. Now, I tend to come your way because $70 million, when he's already making $50 to $55 million to move to L.A., which, by the way, the cost of living might eat that up, is not really that compelling an offer. Again, all things considered, when you have a great situation, you know, you're not asking Dan Hurley to leave an assistant coaching job on an NBA bench. You're asking him to leave as the reigning two-time champion in college basketball, where, again, as you said, he's going to be a top five, top 10 team. So somebody botched this. I don't know who it was. I don't know whether it was Jeannie Buss, whether it was Rob Pelinka, whether it was Clutch. I don't know. Somebody botched this some way. Because, look, it is an embarrassing moment, even if it's coordinated. A college basketball coach turned you down where he would make more money and the chance to coach LeBron James because he said that situation not as good as the one I have. Now, look, a lot of things go into that. There is just no doubt. And that's why I said at the beginning, like, there were reasons for Dan to stay. But now it's like, okay, what are you doing now? Because if you're JJ, you're just like, all right, I'll take it. You know? I don't know. Some people are asking, how do you take it now if you're J.J. Redick?
Because you weren't the first pick?
Right.
Are you kidding me?
Right. I mean, you know, we weren't the first pick.
1,000%.
Here. So, and look at us now.
Well, I mean, the history is full of examples of guys that weren't the first pick.
Exactly.
You know, and ended up working out pretty good.
Yeah, listen, I'll say this. It is a great day for college basketball, though. I mean, it's just the truth. I mean, to lose a coach like Dan Hurley, you can't replace him. There's not a replacement that just, okay, Dan leaves, another one comes in. He's a dynamic personality. He's a great ambassador for the sport. He's obviously an incredible coach. And as I've said, UConn has set the standard for what college, the excellence for college basketball and what it has to look like today. So to lose that would have been a blow, you know. As you mentioned, Field of 68, those guys look like they've found the fountain of youth.
It is. Know? That's the picture of the reinvigoration of college basketball, three faces.
Well, listen, it is a good reminder when you hear all these people bitch about NIL and the transfer portal and this, that, and the other. They find all the things that are wrong with college basketball and college sports. The idea that somebody would turn down the Los Angeles Lakers to continue doing it should be eye-opening. It should give you some perspective.
That you can still be the big man on campus. You can still run things your way.
That's right.
Hurley's the example.
That's right. It's true. And, you know, if you go to Los Angeles, all these jobs, right, historically, I was thinking about this the other day, like all the...
We could start easily because it'll ultimately end up a conversation about Hurley, if you don't mind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All of these, you know, big, like, prestigious, awesome jobs in the lexicon of pro sports, right, whether it's the Knicks, the Lakers, the Dallas Cowboys, right? Am I missing it? The Yankees, right? They are great jobs, but they come with so much BS. You know, the Knicks come with James Dolan, who is like unto himself. Yeah. The Lakers come with this situation, which is LeBron and control and who's calling the shots and who's pulling the strings. The Cowboys, you got Jerry Jones, you know. I mean.
What's the issue with the Yankees?
I don't know. Probably nothing. They're probably the only
team. Is it still Cashman, Brad?
Yeah, it's him. Yeah, it's him.
It's still Cashman.
Yeah, because I was watching the Dodgers game on Saturday.
Well, yep. he's been around a long time.
So, like, but is Aaron Judge the best manager in baseball?
No, Aaron Judge is a player.
I mean, Aaron Boone. Boom. Sorry, yeah.
No.
Like, so why is he the
job? Because he took the job and he's the best they could find. This happens all the time with New York. It happens in the radio business, for God's sakes.
Right, they couldn't find somebody. Like, who was the best manager in baseball?
Oh gosh! Dave Roberts is good, but he's got the roster.
Craig Counsell.
You know,
he's been crowned, never won anything.
Is it Dusty Baker?
I don't think it. Counsell is good, but he to be determined. You know, because he hasn't won yet.
I wanted to give a
who's my guy that won with Texas last year. That's won it in multiple places. I mean,
is that Bochy?
Don't you have to put him up there?
Yeah,
he's done it in multiple places.
He is. Because he's done it in multiple places.
Yeah. Bochy, we talked about it,
I think.
Yeah, a good bit on
it. But he wouldn't take the Yankees gig.
Oh, no, not when you're managing the Rangers.
To your point, the pressure and expectations that come with it.
Who wants that?
Right, that's what I'm saying. All these jobs you think are just automatically. Mike McCarthy, for God's sake, is the coach of the Dallas Cowboys. It's not Kyle Shanahan, all right? It's not Sean McVay. It's not, you know, anybody that you think is the best up-and-coming play caller. It's not Matt LaFleur. It's nobody like that. It's Mike McCarthy because he was the guy that would take it.
And he was out of work. You know, you want to when you take
a
job.
Who's the last good coach that the Cowboys hired? Jimmy Johnson, right?
And that was in the 80s and 90s. What I'm thinking about. The problem was is that Jerry wanted to control it.
When you take one of these jobs, you want to feel like you're taking it and you're taking it by the you-know-whats because you don't want to be set up for failure. And, Jason, you've pointed this out. You kind of are set up for failure with this thing. Now, granted, it's a $70 million payday, but, like, would you rather go to UConn? And I think I would, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
And the money's not that life-changing difference enough, plus...
Yeah, I thought he was going to have a $100 million contract.
Yeah, that's what I did, too. I thought they were going to just blow us out of the water. It's like, of course he turned down $70 million.
And that's what I said at the outset. I said, I don't really understand this for either side. Why would you give up being the king of college basketball where you'll never get fired for this iteration of the Lakers? And Dan Hurley...
You don't.
He didn't. He said, I'm not doing that. I don't want to be... I'll wait for the next job to open up. I'll wait for a situation where I might have a little bit more input, might have a little bit. I'm just going to be good. And look, it's true of every coach, honestly, most. But I don't want to be the scapegoat. I don't want to show up and be the scapegoat in 2 years from when this thing inevitably fails. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it would go. Yeah, you get paid. You get your remainder of your contract, you know. And that's what we said. You get fired, but you get right back in college. Maybe say, you know what? I don't even want to do that. I'd rather go for a three-peat than you know. Do that. Right, go for a three-peat. So I just think that people always say that these big jobs. The best thing you can do is what Miami what Spoelstra did and what Pop did is sort of immerse yourself in one organization that's got some stability, that's in a smaller market where there's less pressure, and just be the man, be the mayor, you know, for 25 years.
You could do that in Memphis if you organically built something.
Y'all won't let Taylor be that because y'all aren't never satisfied though. Y'all won't just accept.
6-19.
You know? That's the issue.
6-19.
Yeah.
Should have been better. First 25.
Y'all have unrealistic and unreasonable expectations.
Folks still throwing that back in the
face. Y'all don't want Silverfield to be the guy for Memphis football for his entire career. All right? That's the truth.
Yeah.
So maybe y'all need to reflect on self a little bit here.
Oh, you ready to give him a lifetime deal, huh?
If he goes to the playoff.
You still got some ifs.
If he goes to the playoff, can we get him a lifetime deal?
If he makes playoff?
Yeah.
We'll have to.
Y'all still going to say, well, the defense.
If that mug is rated 100 and something.
Yeah. Well, if it is.
Then we could have won the first college football playoff game.
It won't be in the playoff.
We could have beat Texas.
It won't be.
You understand what I'm saying?
If they're in the hundreds, they won't be in the playoff. That is a fact. The offense ain't going to be that damn good, bro.
Dude, it was top 10 last year. Top 10.
In what?
In the country.
In scoring?
In efficiency. Your Torvik KenPom. That's what SP Plus is.
Gotcha.
And they were 10th.
Yeah. So, listen, I think it's I think the Lakers have some egg on their face. We'll see sort of, you know, again, Borrego's interviewing in Cleveland, so he may be down the line there.
They might have lost him.
So it's just
you interviewed him twice, and now you hadn't done anything.
But the process, you have to admit and acknowledge, clumsy as hell. Like, it's messy now. Because, you know, it's just messy. When's the last time? I mean, I don't remember. Who did the Lakers hire in 2004? Was it Tom Janovich? They had to go back to him?
I have no idea. What, 04?
Yeah, when they
Rudy Tom Janovich? Is that who you're thinking of?
This is the Coach K miss, and you're saying who'd they hire in place of him?
I forgot who that
was. Rudy, it was Tom Janovich.
Was it Tom Janovich?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, didn't he just get a Lifetime Achievement Award yesterday? It's a good memory
by
you.
Yeah. But that's who they had to settle on, and he was only there for a year.
Remembered that Rudy was the replacement.
That was savant.
When they wanted Coach K.
Look at you.
Go back and read the ghost.
Yeah, and then did they go back to who would they go with after that? Was it Phil again?
Yeah, they were going to go back to the well, weren't they? They were trying to.
I can't remember who they. It had to be Phil again, wasn't it?
I think that jives.
Why was Phil not there in the first place? I don't know. I can't remember.
He was done.
Yeah.
He's ready to go retire to the ranch, wasn't he?
Yeah, they rehired him in 2005, and he was there through 2011. So
this is what we friggin' do, man. We recycle these cats and just chew them up and spit them out. I mean, it doesn't matter who it is.
Exactly right. So, look, great day for college basketball. Great day for, obviously, Jeff Goodman, who is basically like he got a raise.
If I were the Lakers, I'd take a serious look at Hubie Brown. Bringing him back.
Why not? Again. I mean, why not?
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
Hubie could get you.
He's going to be like the. He's going to be. I don't know.
Now
if he's
what you have here is a great player. It's Oscar Robertson.
He's going to get more out of you than JJ is. Let me tell you that right now.
I actually think JJ would be a good coach. There, I said it.
He's an arrogant son of a. You
I
know
love
what.
JJ Redick.
He'll be fine.
I'm the only person on the radio station who loves JJ Redick. I'll go out on a record here. I think he's amazing as an analyst. I think he's articulate. I also think he could coach.
He doesn't know a thing about chemistry, as evidenced by him and Doris's lack of it.
I can't wait to see him fail if he's going to fail, because I'd love to give him a shot at it.
Give me a chemistry speech to my team when you and Doris can't even get it worked out.
It'd
between you two. You don't understand the value of chemistry. Mm-hmm. You think it's all about you, JJ.
I'm willing to give him a shot to fail at it.
Yeah, it's...
Doris really resents him, and I kind of feel it, too.
Doris.
Yeah, give her the job. See how she does.
Hubie better than Doris.
I would actually do this. I would offer the job.
Caitlin Clark?
And I'm being dead-ass serious. I would actually offer the job to Diana Taurasi. That's what I would do. Mm. Get her off the Olympic team.
I would try to, yeah.
That way we can create the opening. If she won't take it, maybe Penny.
Here's a question. Does it even friggin' matter who manages these teams? Does it matter who does these things? I mean, it's the NBA, man. Look at Doc.
It's all about your roster in the NBA. That's it. Everything else doesn't matter. Like, you switch guys, give them this roster, give them that roster. Like, you know, Tyronn Lue, if you gave him the Celtics roster, would be doing the same exact thing that Joe Mazzulla is doing. Taylor Jenkins would be doing the exact same thing Joe Mazzulla is doing. I mean, you know, and vice versa, right? Like, if you gave Joe Mazzulla, the Pistons roster.
Right.
He ain't turning them into a playoff contender. You know, it's all about your ownership, your stability. Now, I mean, at the margins, are there, like, guys who I think are better in certain situations? You know, sure. Spoelstra, one of them. I mean, there's few. Popovich. I think Ty Lue is probably in that discussion. I think Ime Udoka is probably a good coach. Like, you know, he did a good job with Celtics and sort of helping them, you know, lift off here. Steve Kerr, I think he's a good one. But by and large, you take these coaches, you put them on bad teams, they're going to be bad coaches.
Yep.
It's all about your roster at the end of the day.
I think it's just as telling on Udoka is how he's turning that Houston thing into a professional-looking outfit, one that seems
good
to
point.
Be coming on. Like doing it with a roster that ain't so set up for you to be great in like the Boston ones were. And no, it wasn't finished. You had Marcus Smart. You didn't have Drew Holiday and, you know, Derek White. But what he's done in Houston in terms of turning that into a real-looking, professional-looking outfit, I think is just as impressive. Like, dude's on. That's how I know it. Dude's on the way.
Yeah.
Like, they're on the way. Yeah, they get him a real roster, they'll be all right. And they've got it. It's coming together. And they got the three pick.
But yeah, so Dan Hurley staying in stores, running it back in college basketball. We will talk to Jason Fitz about this, get his thoughts on what it means for the Lakers, what it means for the college basketball state. Lots more to come. Jason and John, Artie Turner FM, ESPN. Jason Fitz is a football host for Yahoo Sports. Host on Fox Sports Radio, joins us every single Monday, and he joins us now right on time, Fitz, as we get the official news. Dan Hurley is staying in UConn, going for the three-peat as opposed to joining up with the Lakers organization after apparently a compelling pitch. Not compelling enough as Hurley staying at UConn. What does this say about the Lakers?
Oh, that's a great question. That's not where I thought you were going to go first, and it says that the Lakers are in a real transition period, and I think people outside have to know that. And so I think part of what made Hurley such an attractive coach for them and why it made sense in my mind is that you're only going to get a little bit left on whatever this is with LeBron. So knowing that, frankly, there's nothing they're going to do this offseason that will make them a championship contender, you're just running it out with LeBron because that's what you do as an organization. You treat your stars right. So that's what they'll do, but then they're going to have to start a massive overhaul, and that massive overhaul is not going to be a quick overhaul. So, and in the modern sculpt of the way the NBA is made, I don't know that the Lakers can just count on doing business the way they've done business the last 30 years. Like, this isn't a buy a team and get it worked out mentality anymore. Like, look at what we're seeing right now, and what we've seen over the last few years. If you have two superstars and you can draft for depth around them, you can build yourself the opportunity to play at the highest level. But we're seeing champions that find a way to home grow much of the talent that they have and are patient with that talent that they have, and they pluck little pieces. Well, when's the last time the Lakers took that approach? Their approach has been for a long time, we'll just go out, open up our pocketbooks, and it'll all work out. I just don't know that that works. So you better have a real idea of what they want from player development. You have to have a real idea of where they are. I mean, I think the Lakers are in trouble when it comes to maintaining the standard of who the Lakers have been, because they have to admit who they are right now. Who they are right now is not a championship team. Frankly, I would have no problem if the Lakers had decided right now to walk from LeBron, Anthony Davis, the whole thing, blow it up and start over, because you ain't going to win one with what you got. Now all you're doing is just delaying the inevitable.
I think that would be the smarter move. I'm with you on Fitzy, but I'm sure at this point with LeBron probably, you know, on line one right now, they're not willing to do that. So what do you do? Do you just go put the Band-Aid on and go get JJ for all those? It almost feels like you've been exposed, like you're saying. Like, people don't believe that this will be about post-LeBron. You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody will come in there and get a Darvin Ham type shake at this where they're gone by year two. And so maybe you're out on that candidate. So what do you have to do? Just go get a guy that, you know, has never done this before, like JJ? Because you are, it does feel like kind of stuck.
I mean, here's the problem with that. I can only speak to the JJ I've interacted with, and JJ doesn't want to be anybody's second choice and anybody's very public second choice, right? So I don't know. I mean, the JJ that I've interacted with, I don't think would take this job at this point now that they've danced so hard with Hurley so publicly. It would surprise me. I don't know what they do. And the other part of it is, let's acknowledge that they offered a lot of money. Maybe not, oh my God, mind-blowing, nobody ever touches this, but they offered somebody top six money in the NBA to do this and still got turned down. So now what, are you going to overpay for mediocrity? Like, this is a tough situation. And also, I just think JJ in general is a bad hire, simply because in that locker room, everybody's going to wonder every time he opens his mouth, is it JJ speaking, or is he speaking on behalf of LeBron? And that's just that's not a way for a coach to win any equity in the locker room. It's not a way for a coach to win equity with an organization. It feels to me like a fail.
In terms of the, you know, it's interesting. I'm just sort of thinking about this, and I don't want to be too cynical and get too sort of conspiracy theory here, but, you know, Kentucky basically offered Dan Hurley the same amount of money. And I know this was not like a financial decision, but if this was really, because the reporting the whole entire way was like, this was the man. This was who they want to build the program, so to speak. We want him to develop Austin Reeves and Rui and just be our guiding light. And yet they offer him $3 million more annually a year to do it, which, by the way, adjusted for cost of living, might actually be a pay cut from Stores Connecticut. Like, are we crazy to think that maybe this doesn't pass the smell test in terms of their quote-unquote rumored commitment to how bad they wanted Dan Hurley?
Yeah, I think that portion of it. Now, I will say this, having lived in Connecticut the last few years, you would be stunned. The second highest tax rate in the country belongs to Connecticut, third highest cost of living.
Wow.
So actually, he would actually do better. You know, it's amazing. I'll tell you this, not that anybody cares about this listing, but for point of reference, my property taxes on the house I had in Connecticut were more per month than they are per year for the house that I have in Nashville. So, think about that. That's a very real number. So, Hurley, and that's part of why I thought the Kentucky offer might be enticing to him, because moving to Kentucky from Connecticut, oh my God, like, your dollar is going to go so much farther than you could ever have imagined. But I do think that the part that they underestimated was how much Connecticut as an area means to the Hurley family. Like, there's a Mexican restaurant right down the road from the place in Connecticut that I lived at for years that the Hurleys go to after big games, right? And they sit in the same seats. The whole family meets up whenever they can. They're able to sit there and not really be bothered. They live like rock stars in the area. Everybody loves them. They've got their routine that they love. They love New England, all of these things about it. I think part of what has to be enticing, if you're going to take me from New England to L.A., unless you're an L.A. person, boy, you got to really sit there and say, okay, how am I going to make this so incredible that you don't even have the choice? Like, don't even give them the option of saying no. I don't think that offer does that, to your point. I think it's a little underestimating. That being said, if not now, the only thing I'd say is, if not now, then when for Hurley? Like, because if it's true, and Woj just reported that he has tremendous interest in the NBA, well, you're going to get to
coach, the second best player of all time, with the biggest team brand wise in the whole league. You're gonna, I mean, it doesn't get better than that. Your top six salary. What, you win another natty, you think that's going to go up? It's not. If you don't win a natty, is it going to go down? It might a little bit, right? So I'm a little stunned in an NIL world where I struggle to see how Connecticut's going to keep up long-term with athletics in general. I'm surprised they didn't take the deal, even though the deal wasn't sweet enough.
You know, I saw a weird narrative, and it was just one. I don't want to act like – I'll say actually two, because Greeny joined in on this as well. But like this idea that Dan Hurley, if he were to leave for the Lakers, this would be some black eye, some big referendum on the state of college sports. So does it work to the inverse? Does it work to the inverse that now that he's staying in college sports, that college sports is the most amazing place, it's a nirvana that everybody should aspire to be, even with the NIL and transfer portal? I'm just curious if the logic goes both ways.
I'm sorry for Greeny and whoever else had the take. That's a stupid take, and I've seen a lot of people say it. And I just think it's misinformed to college basketball. And this is what's happening. Like, baseball fans have for years been yelling about coverage of baseball, where it's like, why is everybody trying to fix baseball instead of talking about what's happening right now? It's exactly what people are doing with college basketball right now. In fact, you know, college football also drags on the same thing. Saban left college football because he didn't want to deal with it. Okay, that's fine. But does that mean that the sport's broken? Record amount of money being made? Record eyeballs coming all across the world? Like, the sport is better than ever. So is it possible that a coach doesn't want to be part of the NIL world, especially in Connecticut? Yeah, maybe that's possible. Does that mean college sports are broken? My God, you tell me. I mean, what's the most interesting thing happening this summer in pop culture? Might be the return of a college football video game? Like, tell me college sports are broken? Like, that's dumb. And through all of this, what continues to happen is people says, well, it's a referendum on the future of college sports. No, it isn't. Every single one of these coaches at this point are mercenaries, and they're going to go where they can get the most money and the most security doing what they want to do in a way that they want to do it. So if Hurley wants to go to the NBA, it makes sense, right? But if Hurley doesn't go to the NBA, does that save college basketball? No. College basketball is exactly what, like, if you want college basketball to look the way it did in the 90s, you've lost your mind. It's never going to return to that. Today, what you have to learn and what you have to appreciate is that if you want to win in college basketball, all you got to do is invest money. It's that simple. You want to invest money, you can get great players, great coaches. You can have a great shot at a national championship. I want UNLV to be great again. You know what? If the right families came in and donated enough money, the right collective would make UNLV prominent in a day. And that couldn't happen in college basketball 10 years ago. So, yeah, we live in a world now where, honestly, I think the ability for college sports and college teams to control their own destiny is better than ever. And the people that are complaining about it dying are people that either barely love the sport or haven't given themselves the time to think about what's actually happened to the future of the sport.
Fitzy, John and I were discussing before you came on, and we're thinking that we can fix this pretty easy in terms of getting Caitlin Clark on. I think Gray's hurt already, but we think a Agumba Wale should be on too. And I guess our real issue is the fact that, you know, you look at this roster, the U.S. Olympic women's basketball team, and there's, I could be mistaken, but there's three Phoenix Mercury players, you know, right there with Diana Taurasi, who turns, I think, 42 tomorrow at the top of this thing. You got Kalia Cooper, but you've also got Brittany Griner as well. And they're a 6-6 outfit. They're in the bottom half of the league. Is winning another gold medal so important that we keep, you know, And it's just as much narrative for Diana Taurasi, who gets to, you know, her first one was in, what, 2004, so she can break this tie in terms of most Olympics competed in and won a gold medal. I just, John and I were of the thought that Diana Taurasi should be of the mind that, you know what, it's time to pass the torch, you know, that she could have handled this on her own in terms of the way that vets have been looked at and sort of, you know, spurned the Caitlin Clark types or whatever. We thought that, you know, being a face that she could say, you know, where it's that, you know, I can move on. I've won five of these. I don't need a sixth. I can move on. Let's let the young women play. And, oh, by the way, advertisers and everybody else and all these eyeballs will come watch and you'll really be growing the game. It felt like there's a simple fix there that's not being pursued. What did you think of the whole being snubbed situation?
Yeah, but the hardest part of your simple fix is that would take the legends of the game acknowledging the risers and wanting to help them. To use the 80s analogy, that's a wrestling analogy, that's taking somebody to help somebody else get over, right? Like, Andre the Giant's got to let Hulk Hogan body slam him, otherwise Hulk Hogan's not Hulk Hogan today, right? That's what's got to happen. At some point,
you got to have people come in and embrace. And what's happened since Caitlin came into the league is people have been sitting around reminding us that everybody else is better. And y'all, like, to me, this feels like, and I hate this from a music side, if I fall in love with a band and I meet a fan of that band, and he or she immediately says, oh, yeah, but I liked them since nobody else knew about them. Okay, I don't care. Like, I don't care if you were there when this band was an indie band. I want to love this band right now, and you should, as a fan, welcome that and embrace that. And by the way, if you're a fan of it, you should want the band to be making more money. So, yeah, go mainstream. Go do that whole thing. Go live your dreams. Like, that's what needs to happen in the W. Everybody right now is fighting about Caitlin Clark instead of stepping back and saying, holy cow, this might be the single greatest marketable era of our opportunity for our sport. Amen. I'm not saying she's the best, but she's the best marketed. So, yeah, it's a fail for all of women's college basketball across the board that they didn't find a way to put her in this system somehow, some way. And maybe it could have been involving her in the 3-on-3 tournaments if it's the same committee. Like, find a way to put her in there, because the media coverage around Caitlin Clark right now is worth its weight in gold. So yep. I understand the merit of a conversation. And I do think that there takes time. Like, I think Caitlin needs time to be the best in the world. But right now, man, Taylor Swift is not the best in the world, but if you're putting together a festival, you want Taylor Swift on her? Yeah, because she is, you know, one of the best in the world, and she puts on the best show, and everybody loves her, right? Like, so at some point, it's not, well, this person's a better singer and this person's a better songwriter. No, I want somebody that pushes tickets. I want big names on my festival. That's what the Olympics is. The Olympics is a massive festival. So if we're going to have a massive festival, give me the biggest names. Don't be artsy-fartsy there. Like, give me the people that will draw the interest in. And you can't tell me Caitlin Clark, late-night Olympic matchup in Paris in basketball, more people wouldn't be watching it than they will watch. I'm sorry, with due respect, Diana Taurasi, do anything.
Yeah, like, I made this sort of comparison at the beginning of the show that, you know, you just compare and contrast the reactions to the WNBA as it relates to welcoming Caitlin Clark, or whatever you want to call it, versus the Wimby reaction. You know, Wimby, just like Caitlin Clark, sort of was so much hype, so much going to change the game. And you look at some of the things that the veterans have said, you know, about Wimby, the Aaron Fox, he's a special player. Desmond Bain, I'm excited. I'm excited to play him. From what you can see from afar, he's a guy that's not only huge, but can do multiple things on the court. I'm excited to go down there. You know, you see people, he's a special player from Duncan Robinson. Like, it's just, you see more of an acceptance. Like, oh, this guy is incredible and special. Look at all the things he can do. Whereas with Caitlin, it feels like nothing but publicly resentment and diminishing. Like, oh, he's, you know, what did Kennedy Carter say? She can just shoot threes. Like, nobody was ever saying Wimby's just tall, you know?
Yeah. And by the way, I love your analogy, because I've used the Wimby analogy on the play, too. It took a minute, right? Like, we forget that the first month of the season, Wimby wasn't Wimby the way he was at the end of the year. Like, you could see it, but it wasn't there. At the end of the year, you're like, yeah, this is everything we thought it was going to be. We didn't even give Caitlin Clark, like, a week in the W. Like, she didn't even have the chance to know her teammates, first, last names, sisters, brothers. They, like, didn't even have a chance to get to know a playbook. And we're out here just destroying her if she doesn't throw out, like, every single basket from every single point of the court right away. The expectations have been just, it's been asinine. And what I can't wrap my head around is, how is that good for anybody? Like, what's best for sports fans? Like, I love the fact that the W is interesting. I love the fact that we can sit here on an interview on radio and talk about the W, because we all know we wouldn't have done that 3 years ago. And by the way, the Las Vegas Aces have won back-to-back championships. Who cares? I'm an Aces fan. Who cares, right? Everybody cares about Caitlin. That's just, there's such an opportunity for the sport. If you're a fan of just basketball and you're a fan of drama and you're a fan of getting to see more of all of it, don't you want this? Like, it's crazy. The doubt is crazy to me.
If you had to, and we're just two games in, and hopefully we'll be able to figure it out a little bit more clearly over the next two or three or however many this final series is going to go, who would be your Celtics MVP right now, Fitzy, of this series?
Man, that's a tough question. I don't know. Because this thing has looked – y'all tell me what you thought last night. I thought that was one of the most disjointed wins I can remember.
Yeah.
Like, I just kept looking at it thinking, how the heck is this team up 2-0 in the finals? Right? Like, and I'm not trying to take anything away from what the Celtics have accomplished, because, I mean, I picked them on my show on Fox to win in six. I thought it might go five. Like, I think the Celtics are a far better team.
Yep.
But last night, they shot Like, I mean, that was like watching a painful group of middle school kids heave up shots, and you just want somebody to tell them not to, and it still worked. I mean, Porzingis, if you want to talk about the X factor I didn't expect, it was for Porzingis to be so good so fast. I expected rust to be a factor in there. He's been a huge difference maker, but, man, if you're the Mavs, you got to be watching the film back from last night saying, how did we lose that game? How did we play so poorly that we let that team beat us? Because that version of the Celtics last night, man, they're going to win the NBA championship. And we're going to have to sit here and figure out how to compartmentalize a team that had a really lucky run as far as their opponents to get to the final. Then they get to the final, and their opponents playing like trash their two games.
Let me ask you this, just from a journalistic standpoint, because I'm seeing all of this as it relates to Woj versus Shams. Like, is this validation? Or is this a situation where, like, Woj just had all the news, and just because Dan Hurley didn't end up taking it doesn't mean that he was wrong? He had everything every step of the way, including the announcement that he was not taking the job. Like, who wins, who loses here?
Woj wins, because he said in his initial report that they have been targeting Dan Hurley from the outset, which is his way of saying the Shams report about J.J. Redick means nothing. That's like, Woj doesn't say anything by accident. So when he made it clear that their prime candidate from the beginning has been Hurley, what Woj is telling you there is everybody who's listed any other candidate doesn't know what they're talking about. And so far, it seems like that played out. I mean, went out, got the offer. I think maybe Mega offers a little oversold. Now the offer gets turned down. He gets it first. I think Woj wins in this, but also, and I know Woj well, he's great, and he's been great to me. I think the world's better when we have two great insiders. It's funny that we pit these two against each other. Like, I think it's better when there's not one person controlling all the information that we all see. I think Shefty's better with Rap just absolutely trying to scoop him every step of the way. I think Woj is better with Shams coming after him every step of the way. So hopefully there's, you know, it's a bit of a tie, but I give the edge to Woj.
Yep, I think that's probably right. Hey, Fitz, man, you're the best as always.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you for the time.
Yes, boys. Have a great week. And yep. Welcome back, by the way.
Yeah, it's good to be back, man. It was, you know, the first 2 weeks, it was like a vacation, and then it stopped being a vacation, and then, you know, you start to miss it a little bit. You feel like you're kind of out of the mix, right? So it was good to be back, man. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, boys. Have a great week.
Yep. Too. It's Jason Fitz, the best in the business. Yeah, look, I think there's definitely we'll never know the truth in terms of how was this planted. Was this a big coordination? You know, we'll never know. Nobody's ever going to say that. Like, oh, the Lakers knew when the Redick. Maybe JJ will tell us, or maybe not. You know, I'm still waiting on that, right? What's he going to say to Shams? Like, what's his big, you know, I don't know, message?
It's such a slap in the face to Borrego and JJ to say this was their guy the entire time. Well, then what? So the interviews, the two
right.
For the Borrego.
Yeah.
Two. You had him come back.
Yeah.
That was just all smoke. So that's what I'm, that's.
Right.
So I got a hard time buying. It's the only first and only one they took seriously. You had Borrego back twice. So you were just playing with him.
No. Yeah, I don't know.
They seriously considered.
No, you were. The, I will say this:
there was no talk about Hurley. None.
None.
Not even a peep. Not
I will
one
say this.
Leak.
For us, you were our first and only choice for this show. You were the guy, no doubt about it. Like, you were our one and only.
Stop.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So I said it doesn't matter when you get it. It's what you do with it when you do. Oftentimes, it's not the number one choice, right?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I mean, I have to go back in history and look how many times that's been the case. You know, the public, it's so public now with social media. That's the problem. Like, you know, it's not the way it used to be. Used to, it would just be scuttlebutt, and you didn't necessarily know you weren't the first choice. Now it's all out there. You know what I mean? Now it gets reported. They're talking about they're interviewing this guy, they're interviewing that guy, they're focusing in on. But this is definitely one that I feel like we haven't seen a lot of these. Where there's an offer and it gets turned down publicly, and then they got to go to the second candidate. There have not been a ton of those. A
couple of listeners have chimed in about people who have famously turned down these types of jobs. The Charlie Strongs of the world come to mind, you know, pro or big jobs, you know, guys that have, and then it doesn't go well for the rest of their career.
Who did Charlie Strong turn down?
He got Texas, right?
Texas job.
But he took
and
it,
then right?
He got it.
And it didn't go well, you know, but those opportunities or ones that you do take and they go wrong, you know, there's a lot of ways you can go with them. this. You know, sometimes the second choice does better. Sometimes the first choice tanks out. You know, Charlie's obviously famously flamed out there at Texas.
Yeah. Was he the I don't know. I can't remember if he was the first choice or not. But, yeah, I mean, he was really at Louisville. He had to go to Texas.
Yeah.
Who was it? Who was the NFL? Was it Saban? Saban went with Miami.
Yeah, and that did not work well.
You know, but again, this is sort of separate of the, I don't remember who was the first choice and et cetera, and who was the, I know we know Josh was not the first, second, third, fourth, fifth choice here at Memphis.
Well,
it didn't work
as well as one of those higher choices.
You know, Tubby was the first choice.
Urban leaving Ohio State for Jacksonville.
Yeah. And that's like, now it's a little, you know, now it's more so like going to the pros as opposed to the original point. But yes, I mean, there's no guarantees. There's no guarantees ever when you're leaving. And that's why, you know, listen, the situation is so good at UConn.
Yep.
You know, it just makes sense to stay and ride it out and see where it goes from here. And then if the Knicks come up and go for the Knicks, you know, if not, whatever, you're fine. You make $8 million.
He's a Northeast guy. That's where he needs to be. He ain't even be out on the West Coast anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just wait on the Knicks.
Anyway,
Tibbs ain't much longer for this world anyway.
I doubt it.
Running those players will be dead, and they won't have limbs by the time he's done with them.
It definitely wears thin. There is no doubt. Anyway, we'll come back, wrap this up on a Monday. Jason and John, 90.9 FM. It's summer, and it's the summer of 1,000 engagements with our friends at Robert Irwin Jewelers. What does that look like? 40% off all engagement rings and a free summer vacation getaway. When you buy jewelry that amounts to $24.95 or more, you get a free vacation. So, hey, that's the perfect time. Just combine them, right? You get the engagement ring. You go on a free vacation. Ask. Is that good? That's that simple. Peace of mind with the meant-to-be guarantee from our friends at RIJ. 365 days to return it if, for whatever reason, something goes awry. More choices for every budget. Go see our man Howie, Robert Irwin Jewelers, today.
Ask now, pay later. Great financing options like 24 months, no interest, or take up to 60 months to pay. You know Howie's going to take care of you because he wants you to come back. Wants to be your jeweler for life. That's why he's going to make it the most special jewelry shopping experience, the most unique of your life. 5 locations in Memphis and La Rocca, online at rijewelers.com. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, always at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Check them out at rijewelers.com.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Obviously, the news of the day that Dan Hurley is going to stay at UConn. He's spurning a $70 million deal from the Los Angeles Lakers to stay back in college basketball and go for 3. Now, you seem to be very high on the UConn Huskies this year, and most people are. They're top 3 to top, I don't know, 6 team, I think, at worst.
Everybody's got preseason. More than 10. Everybody's got them top 10.
I just think it's going to be – I think it's going to be – this is just my opinion. I think Klingon hit a lot of, you know, deficiencies potentially that would have existed because of his just – I mean, you just don't find 7'2 guys that can do what he can do in college anywhere. There's no counter to that. So you take him out of the equation, what's it look like? I think you're going to be a lot more human, I would say, because they've been unhuman, you know, the last 2 years. So I think but that doesn't mean they can't still be a top 10 team.
It's going to be 2 lottery guys,
right?
Him and Castle, but you're
losing. Right, exactly right. But you take, do bring back Caravan, you know, Solomon Ball, I guess you're going to, and you lose Tristan Newton. Don't underestimate that loss either. You know, he's been there.
Absolute stud for you.
Has been, you know, super consistent for you.
Mm-hmm.
But look, what I would not give to just have, you know, to have 2 titles in a row. I mean, like, so whatever. Like, you could suck the rest of your time. I don't care. You said to have 2 in a row? Come on, man.
Pretty much first wing every time you go out now.
Your lifetime there for sure, regardless. But they still should be good. And he's clearly motivated to be good. And like I said, I think it's a great thing for the sport because he's a great coach and a great personality.
Well, the alternative, too, there's no guarantee they keep it together post, because as we've talked about, if his assistant had gone with him, the guy that Doster was talking about is so critical to what they put together offensively. How much of that are you keeping? The whole thing dies. So, I mean, stores will just be giddy today because you keep this going. And at least the possibility that not just next year for 3 in a row, but over the next few years, you're going to get more cracks at multiple titles. I mean, that could have been dead. You know, frankly, all these guys hit the transfer portal. Who knows if that second or third or assistant at this point can keep any of that together? Like, the whole thing just blows up if Hurley takes this gig, takes his lead assistant with him. You know, now they get the cracks, and even if they don't win a third, dude, there's the opportunity to be there successful 2 years, 3 years from now. Could add another one.
Yep.
So.
Yep. By the way, Keith Lee, remember that food influencer I always talk about, Keith Lee on TikTok. He's coming to Memphis on his food tour, apparently. The great Keith Lee. We got to get Keith Lee and Keith Lee. We got to get the Keith Lee by Keith Lee collab for when he comes to Memphis. I recommend lots of places. Wingaroo and Sonic.
Yeah, get the groovy fries.
It's what's for dinner. It's going to do it for us today. It's summer, and it's the summer of 1,000 engagements with our friends at Robert Irwin Jewelers. What does that look like? 40% off all engagement rings and a free summer vacation getaway. When you buy jewelry that amounts to $24.95 or more, you get a free vacation. So, hey, that's the perfect time. Just combine them, right? You get the engagement ring. You go on a free vacation. Ask. Is that good? That's that simple. Peace of mind with the meant-to-be guarantee from our friends at RIJ. 365 days to return it if, for whatever reason, something goes awry. More choices for every budget. Go see our man Howie, Robert Irwin Jewelers, today.
Ask now, pay later. Great financing options like 24 months, no interest, or take up to 60 months to pay. You know how he's going to take care of you because he wants you to come back. Wants to be your jeweler for life. That's why he's going to make it the most special jewelry shopping experience, the most unique of your life. Five locations in Memphis and Little Rock, are online at rijewelers.com. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, always at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Check them out at rijewelers.com.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Obviously, the news of the day that Dan Hurley is going to stay at UConn. He's spurning a $70 million deal from the Los Angeles Lakers to stay back in college basketball and go for three. Now, you seem to be very high on the UConn Huskies this year, and most people are. They're top three to top, I don't know, six team, I think, at worst.
Everybody's got
preseason.
More than 10. Everybody's got them top 10.
I just think it's going to be – I think it's going to be – this is just my opinion. I think Klingon hit a lot of, deficiencies potentially that would have existed because of his just – I mean, you just don't find 7'2 guys that can do what he can do in college anywhere. There's no counter to that. So you take him out of the equation, what's it look like? I think you're going to be a lot more human, I would say, because they've been unhuman, the last 2 years. So I think they – but that doesn't mean they can't still be a top 10 team.
Well, it's going to be two lottery guys,
right?
Him and Castle, but you're
losing. Right, exactly right. But you do bring back Caravan, Solomon Ball, I guess you're going to – and you lose Tristan Newton. Don't underestimate that loss either. He's been there.
Absolute stud for you.
Has been, super consistent for you. Mm-hmm. But look, what I would not give to just have, to have two titles in a row. I mean, so whatever. You could suck the rest of your time. I don't care. You said to have two in a row? Come on, man.
Pretty much first wing every time you go out now.
You're lifetime there for sure, regardless. But they still should be good. And he's clearly motivated to be good. And like I said, I think it's a great thing for the sport because he's a great coach and a great personality.
Well, the alternative, too, there's no guarantee they keep it together post because, as we've talked about, if his assistant had gone with him, the guy that Doster was talking about is so critical to what they put together offensively. How much of that are you keeping? The whole thing dies. So, I mean, stores will just be giddy today because you keep this going. And at least the possibility that not just next year for three in a row, but over the next few years, you're going to get more cracks at multiple titles. I mean, that could have been dead. Frankly, all these guys hit the transfer portal. Who knows if that second or third or assistant at this point can keep any of that together? The whole thing just blows up if Hurley takes this gig, takes his lead assistant with him. Now they get the cracks, and even if they don't want a third, dude, there's the opportunity to be there successful 2 years, 3 years from now. Could add another one.
Yep.
So.
Yep. By the way, Keith Lee, remember that food influencer I always talk about, Keith Lee on TikTok?
Yeah.
He's coming to Memphis on his food tour, apparently. The great Keith Lee. We got to get Keith Lee and Keith Lee. We got to get the Keith Lee by Keith Lee collab for when he comes to Memphis. I recommend lots of places. Wingaroo and Sonic.
Yeah, get the groovy fries.
It's what's for dinner. It's going to do it for us today.